Hey, this is Steve Stewart. Thank you so much for checking out the Money Plan SOS podcast. This is episode 200, and this is the final episode before I retired the show. Now, there's 200 episodes of the back catalog you can go back and listen to. This one specifically was kind of a nice tying a bow on the top of this whole thing. And it isn't specific content that I created. This was asking other financial bloggers, people who write about money, what they learned about money as they wrote about money. It was a learning experience, a gradual progression of knowledge from when they started to when they ended. The interviews are very short, and it's just a quick half-hour episode for you. It's not a reflection of the entire back catalog. So please, when you listen to this one, don't think this is what all the episodes are like. This was a unique one. This was, again, to put a little bow on the top of this gift to be able to say, we're done. We're wrapping this up, episode 200, and now the show is retired. And this was recorded live at the FinCon Expo in 2015. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Hi, this is Brad Chaffee from Enemy of Debt.
Average Joe here.
Dave Hilton.
Jenny Kerr.
John White.
Dustin Hartzler.
Jen McTenna.
Joshua Brown.
Billy Elson Jesus.
Jeff Rose.
Mike and Mandy.
Carrie from CarefulSense.com.
You're listening to
Steve Stewart.
Steve Stewart.
Steve Stewart
on the Money Plan.
Money Plan.
Money Plan SOS podcast.
Helping everyday Americans
pay attention.
Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Not interest.
Not interest.
Not interest.
Ladies and gentlemen, recording the 200th episode of the Money Plan SOS podcast live from the Trade King podcasting stage at FinCon 2015. I'm your humble servant and personal finance architect, Steve Stewart. I'm so happy you guys are here, live here again. This is at the Westin Charlotte, and I'm going to have a fantastic lineup of guests here today. We're going to have 9 guests. Hopefully, we'll get all 9 on. Each one of my guests is going to tell me what they learned about money while they were blogging about money. So these are financial bloggers who've been doing some of them for years, and some of them just started like last month. And this is going to be really, really interesting. First of all, I'm going to bring on my friend Eric Rosenberg. Eric is the blogger over at personalprofitability.com, and he has a podcast called The Personality Podcast.
Yeah, The Personal Profitability Podcast. I like a lot of P's. I like alliteration.
Absolutely. So, Eric, you blog over there. You've been doing this for many, many years.
7 years now, next month.
Fantastic. Can you tell us, what have you learned about money while you were writing about money?
Well, my background from education, I have both an undergraduate and an MBA in finance. So I was already pretty well financial-minded and educated when I started. But I think the biggest light bulb moment I had was when I started thinking about personal finance like dieting. You know, you can exercise 100 hours or 24 hours a day, and you won't lose any weight if you eat and eat and eat and eat. You have to focus on the input, and that's what makes your personal finances what they are. So budgeting is very important, but
Amen.
Focus on your income. I think that's the real way. No one got rich by budgeting. You know, you can maintain a good lifestyle through budgeting. You can keep your expenses from going out of control. But if you want to get wealthy and build up a big asset base, you have to raise your income. And my blog opened a lot of doors to me to start making more money through other businesses, which freelancing is actually 90% of my online income now. 10% comes from my own blog. So focusing on that income has really built me up in a way that I can save more than I ever have before. I rarely have any money stresses anymore. I'm debt-free other than my mortgage. And that's all thanks to really building up that income and focusing on both my career and my side businesses.
Fantastic. Eric Rosenberg from
The Personal Profitability Podcast and personalprofitability.com.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the 200th episode of the Money Plan SOS Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Next on, we have the fabulous, fantastic Emily Guy Birkin, who you've been writing about finance for a while, but not just for like one blog.
No, I write for all of them.
Okay, so let's see.
Quite.
You've got Wisebread.
Yes.
You've got PT Money.
Yes.
You've got a couple books out.
Yes, I do.
Real quick,
I've got Choose Your Retirement, which is due out October 2nd, my brand new book. And then The 5 Years Before You Retire, which was published back in 2014 and is still doing well and still has a lot of great information in it.
Way back in 2014. That was like,
yes.
That was like
so
last
ago.
Year.
Yeah.
So Emily, so how long ago did you start writing personal finance articles?
I started 5 years ago. My first assignment was with PT Money. And that's actually what got me started writing about finance in general. I have a background in English and writing. I don't necessarily in finance, although my father was a financial planner. So I kind of learned as I went. And even though I've always been pretty good about debt reduction and budgeting and that sort of thing, I was not necessarily on board with retirement savings. I knew it was important, but it was kind of outside of my comfort zone. So when I was first writing about retirement, I was doing kind of a do as I say, not as I do thing.
Yeah.
just because it was so much more interesting to me to save up for my son's college education and to save up for vacations rather than think about something that was so far in the future. So writing about retirement in particular and finance has really helped me to prioritize my own retirement.
And that's what you've basically learned from this.
Oh, yeah.
5 years of writing
about
money.
Yeah, 5 years. I've learned just how very important it is to make sure that my money goes towards my future.
And apparently you're doing fairly well because you've written two books. And look at that. Joe Salcihi has the foreword on the very front of the book.
Yes, he does. He is very proud of that.
Awesome. Emily Guy Birken from Emily Guy Birken. That's a B-U-R.
B-I-R.
B-I-R-K-E-N.
That's right.
.com. Thanks for coming on the Money Planet Source podcast.
Thank you.
This next one's going to be fun. This is Katie Austin. She writes for a website called ActiveHours.com. Now, how long have you been doing that?
So it's been about 3 months.
Three months.
It's pretty new.
I'm guessing this is your first FinCon.
This is definitely my first FinCon. Yeah.
So we go from 5 years with Emily to 3 months. Have you learned anything new about money since you started writing for
ActiveHours? I have. So just as a little bit of background on me, growing up, so my dad was a financial planner, which of course meant that I was completely averse to anything financial related. And so I tried to kind of push my life into the arts and all of those things, and that's been really great. And then I started working in tech. And once I got into tech, I kind of found my way back to finance with ActiveHours. And so what I've been really drawn to is the apps. So apps that make it easier for me to deal with finances because I actually don't want to deal with them. And so like Mint and Level and Digit and those kinds of things where it makes financial living accessible for someone like me. So I love writing about those things, and that's kind of what I've been learning about, and it's been helping me to kind of deal with my finances in a way that I never thought I would.
So what would you say, is there a pivotal moment that you made a decision and it's just kind of like I decided to automate my finances by doing bill pay? I mean, what was
the
one thing?
So the thing that happened is, honestly, my boyfriend was like, I have a challenge for you. You have to look at every single dollar that you spend. And that's what it was. It was love. Love was the pivotal moment. But no.
Yeah. We could sing a song, but we won't.
Yeah, no,
we
that's
only have 4 minutes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, if I have to track everything, I need to look into how I can do this without actually doing it. And that was when I kind of started investigating those things. And that was what I was writing about for work anyway. And so it kind of, worlds collided and there was magic.
Okay, so now you're writing for Active...
ActiveHours.
ActiveHours. Do you have a personal website, or is that just where you can be found?
No, that's where I can be found.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And you can be found online on Twitter at ActiveHours.
At ActiveHours, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's all me.
Great. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what you're like next year when you have a whole 13 months under your belt.
Oh, my God.
No,
I'm going to learn so much.
Months.
But I'm going to learn it all this weekend.
Smart move. Well,
yeah.
Katie, thank you so much for coming on
Thanks.
The Money Planet Source podcast. Now, we're going to try and see if we can't get everything I need out of this guy, because this guy is just, he is the financial mentor. In fact, that's where you can find him at financialmentor.com. It's Todd Tresidder. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
I have been just putting it off, and I don't know why. We need to get you on, and this is not enough time, but you're the author of many, many books. I mean, how many books do you actually have?
There's 5 books right now, but as you know, a lot of my content's long body, so I mean, some of the articles are almost book length.
It's almost like putting a book online as a post.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So how long ago did you start to write about personal finance? Well, let's start real quick with your background. It was hedge fund management?
Yeah, my background's investing. So kind of the rocket science of investing, which is the hedge fund world. So quantitative investing as opposed to traditional passive buy and hold strategies.
Was there writing articles involved in any of that?
No, extensive research. I spent a decade doing quantitative research, modeling trading systems, and developing investment strategies for hedge funds.
And then how long ago did you leave that world and come into Financial Mentor?
1998, we sold the company. So we sold the hedge fund business in 1998, and I started the blog Financial Mentor in 1998.
Wow. So you've been doing that for, gosh, that's a long time. That's more than 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, it started out as a static website. So it really, I made all the classic mistakes in internet marketing.
Uh-huh.
So it really didn't take off until I understood WordPress, which I think was, gosh, about 5 or 6 years ago.
And then so the question here today is, what have you learned since you started writing about money? What have you learned about money since writing about it?
Well, there's a couple of things. With every post that I write, I learn. You know, every post, because I do research, I get very deep into each post. And so I learn with everything I write, constantly refining my knowledge. But also the bigger picture is I've learned that it's much simpler. The big principles, the important essential things are actually quite simple. And it's just the devil is in the details.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the posts are for, is you go deep into the details. But the big concepts are really quite simple that everybody needs to learn.
See, I think you're kind of like me. You write not just to learn for yourself, but then to be able to teach others as well.
Yeah.
So is that the benefit you're getting from this?
No, actually, you know, the benefit for me is community, connection, contribution, all those things that make for a fulfilling life that are kind of softer, that's not the hard side of life. That's what it really brings for me. When I get a note from somebody saying that they achieve financial independence just off my free content, I'll get a letter. Somebody will say, you've never heard from me, I've never written you, and I achieved financial independence, and it was off your free content.
Wow.
You know, that kind of stuff is really rewarding.
Yeah. So what is the one big thing that you've learned since you started writing about personal finance?
I think you know the book, How Much Money Do I Need to Retire? That book was a real big refinement for me in understanding that retirement's really about cash flow, not assets. I think when I first retired in 98, I had the myth that it was about assets, like so many other people. And it's really, you got to transform your thinking, and that's what the book does.
And what you do with that extra cash flow.
Yeah.
You can't just have cash flow because then we end up spending it. Let's go ahead and pimp. What is one of the... Oh, no, you're offering people 18 essential lessons from a self-made millionaire on your website, financialmentor.com?
Yeah, I give away a free ebook on the site for people that want to subscribe. And then I also give away a free course called 52 Weeks to Financial Freedom. And no, it's not get rich quick. You won't get rich in a year. But what it does do is it goes through all the big principles and the structures and the outlines of what you have to go through in the process. So at least you have a framework or a map, a roadmap for how you're going to go through it.
All right. And that can be found at financialmentor.com.
Exactly.
Great. All right, Todd, thank you so much for coming on the Money Plan SOS podcast.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Our next guest, let me get some music going on here. This is Stephanie O'Connell. And I'm not making this up. You are from The Broken Beautiful Life.
That's right.
Representative of your life, I am assuming.
It's my life all laid out.
Now, tell us a little bit about your background, because you're a little unique from a financial blogger's perspective, where you did more than just start blogging. I mean, you've been doing things before that and still during your career now.
Yeah. So I work in professional musical theater, and I have for the past 7 years, and I have a degree in drama. So I am an unlikely candidate to become a financial expert, certainly. But it does offer a unique perspective. My perspective is such that I want to live big dreams. So what do I need to do today in my budget, in my current financial reality, to live out those dreams and enjoy my life every step along the way, and such The Broken Beautiful Life was born.
How long ago was that?
That was about 3 years ago, but I really got into personal finance about 2 years before, like really into spreadsheets. I'd be doing a tour, and I'd be on the back of the tour bus after the show, like inputting what I spent on lunch and then how much I made. I was such a nerd. So theater nerd and money nerd.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what is the big lesson you've learned from the past few years when you were writing about money?
The biggest lesson has been that I am in charge of how much I make. And that was a big lesson because in theater, you're always waiting for permission. And I think everybody feels this in some way, from an employer, from a job title, from some kind of experience. You say, once I have this and someone allows me to earn this much, I can earn this much. And I found out that's not really true. Like, I've shaped my own destiny now. And I feel so empowered by that. I've got not one stream of income, but five streams of income. And I'm the one pushing forward on all of them. And they are totally awesome and more than anything I ever dreamed of.
Yeah. And let me add one more thing to that, because from what I've heard from other things that other podcasts you've appeared on, your income is irregular. So that had to have been a big challenge for you to obtain. A lot of people don't experience that much of a fluctuation in month-to-month income.
Yeah, so I was used to the broke, starving artist income, and so that really helped me to become a full-time freelancer. My income now is far more steady than it used to be, but it is still irregular. So I use a system called zero-sum budgeting, and I use my income from the previous month to budget for the next month.
Perfect.
And I commit to making my make-or-break number, I call it. I know exactly what I need to do to cover all my expenses and reach my financial goals, and I have to make at least that amount of money each and every month.
I will love that idea. Love that mindset. All right. Yeah. Stephanie O'Connell from The Broken Beautiful Life also has the book called
The Broken Beautiful Life.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for coming on the Money Planet SOS podcast. This is really exciting and overwhelming all at the same time.
Yes.
I have now on with us Miss Athena Lent, where she says being fabulous has no price tag. You can find her over at moneysmartlatina.com.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been, you know, we bumped into each other in St. Louis at the FinCon in St. Louis.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I got to get to know Athena. But you just always bumping around in other places, and now we get you on the show.
I'm a social butterfly. I can't help it.
Yes, yes. Now, I know that at one point you're thinking about doing a podcast, so I'll have to talk to you after this.
I still do want to do a podcast, and I'll talk to you after this. I will be a better podcast student.
All right, so how long did you start writing about personal finance?
I started writing about personal finance in 2008. I was a broke college student, and I didn't have any money for my tuition, and I kind of needed to get it together because I had no idea where my money was going. I'm a first-generation high school graduate, first-generation college graduate, and I didn't know anything about personal finance. So I started reading personal finance blogs in about 2007. I got into writing my own in 2008, and here I am. It's 2015, and I am a senior at Arizona State University. I am getting a dual degree in criminology and criminal justice. I just studied counterterrorism this summer in Israel.
Oh, wow.
And I wouldn't have been able to do all of that unless I had gotten my financial act together.
And so what is the biggest lesson you've learned while writing and blogging about money?
The biggest lesson I have learned is that I, too, can be successful. I had a perception because of my background that I couldn't. I was orphaned at 15, and I kind of had to work my way like through school and put myself through school and always work and always have a job. But I, too, can have nice things.
Wow. That's wow. You've overcome a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
That's wonderful. So, and thank you for helping with the Plutus Awards.
No problem.
After show, all kinds
of
stuff.
Yes, the Plutus Awards after party is Saturday at 9 p.m. at Rooftop 210. I'm very
By the time
excited.
This comes out, it'll already be over. But
at the time it comes out, this will all be over. But yes, I also do the Plutus Awards social media.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so we can find you over at moneysmartlatina.com. Fantastic. Thanks for coming on the Money Planet Source podcast. Thank you. Ready?
Sure.
We have Miss Miranda Marquette.
Hi.
From PlantingMoneySeeds.com. And what can I say? I mean, it's like you were meant to be on the show, but I couldn't figure out exactly why. So let's just ask you the question. Well, first of all, let's find out your background. You've been writing about money for how many years?
There we go. I've been writing about money since 2006.
2006.
Let's... 2006. It's like in online years, that's like 100.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a very long time.
Absolutely. And since then, you've written a book.
Right, yes, yes.
Planting Money Seeds?
No, it's Confessions of a Professional Blogger.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah. Confessions of a Professional Blogger. So you've been writing about blogging about money.
Y- yes.
Blogging
well,
in general?
So I originally started just as a science writer. I was writing science on a freelance basis starting in 2005. And so I just started, I wrote this Confession of a Professional Blogger just to kind of talk about my online freelancing journey and how I make money, practically speaking. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy. It's just like down and dirty. This is how you do it, the basics.
But your focus really nowadays isn't really writing for your own blog. You write for many, many different websites.
Right. Yeah, no, I've always started as a freelancer. So I've been doing freelance writing in the financial space since 2006, but I didn't start planting money seeds till 2011.
Right.
So I didn't even have my own blog, but I was still doing personal finance stuff.
And you're not a CFP. You've not got a finance degree or anything like that, but
no.
You've been writing about money. So what is the biggest lesson you've learned since you've been writing about money?
Really, all of it has to do pretty much with investing and learning how to get started with investing and making more money. One of the things that when I first started writing about money, I was concerned about was I was like, well, I don't really like saving. I don't like being frugal. I'm not a frugal person. How can I make this mesh? And I just sort of gravitated toward, oh, well, make more money. That's the answer. I don't want to cut back, so make more money is the answer. And that's sort of what I learned from doing this and doing the research. And I have a journalism background, so being able to interview actual experts has been very helpful to me in my own financial journey.
Fantastic. Miranda, thank you so much for coming on the show. It seems appropriate that you come on the 200th episode. So everybody, if you want to find out more about Miranda, you can find her at PlantingMoneySeeds.com, a couple different podcasts, at M. Markwit on Twitter.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's been fun. Check this out. I have a longtime blogger and very, very successful blogger. You started a website, which you eventually sold, and now you're about to launch a new site. This is Mr. J.D. Roth.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
This is a pleasure. Tell me something. You had a blog that you were writing for a long time. How long ago did you have Get Rich Slowly?
So I started Get Rich Slowly in April of 2006, and I owned that for 3 years, so that was a long time, doing it all by myself. And then I stayed on for another 3 years. Even after I sold it, I acted as editor and produced the content. So basically for 6 years, I was involved with Get Rich Slowly.
Right. And now you're launching a new website, which is basically personal finance. It's moneyboss.com.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And so I feel like Get Rich Slowly, I started Get Rich Slowly to chronicle my experience getting out of debt and learning how to manage money because I was terrible with money. And so now I've gotten better with money. I paid off my debt. I learned how to save. I learned how to invest. I learned how to take control of my own finances, and I want to share that. I've got some enthusiasm. I left blogging because I kind of got burned out on it, but now I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, I've got something to say. I want to help people take charge of their own finances and treat it like they were managing a business, I guess.
So while you're going through writing all these blog posts, mm-hmm. you must have learned, I know you've learned a lot of lessons about money. So can you think of one specific lesson, the biggest lesson you learned about money while you were blogging about money?
Well, this is actually a recent lesson that I've, you know, as you go along, you kind of assimilate different things. And one of the things I've learned is it's very important to save as much as you can. And that sounds very basic because, of course, the fundamental principle of personal finance is to spend less than you earn. But, you know, all the typical advice is like save 10% or save 20% of your money. And that's great. I think people should save 10 or 20% of their income. But I think if you can save half, you're going to meet your goals so much quicker, whether that's financial independence, sending your kids to college, or buying a new home. Whatever it is, if you can save half of your income, you're going to reach your goals much quicker than if you save 10% or 20%.
So when you discovered that, what changes did you make in your personal finances?
Well, to be honest, I had already been doing that. And so it was more like a realization that, oh, this is something I've been doing that's been successful. Maybe I can help other people see the light. And it's surprising how much resistance there is to this idea. People are like, no, I can never save half.
Right.
But the reality is, yeah, you could.
And the payoff is in the end, but it's not too far down because if you're saving half your income, you're going to reach that goal a lot sooner.
Absolutely. Well, there's a payoff at the end, absolutely, but there's a payoff now because you learn to live on less and you learn to be happy with less. And
that's a very important
point.
And
plus, there's this mental, I don't know what to call it. It feels good to know that you have this cushion and that you're only living on half the money you're bringing in. So if something goes wrong, you've got a little bit of cushion there. You've got a little bit of leeway. Plus, as you're saving half, you're building an actual financial cushion, right?
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So let me just ask you an off-the-wall question.
Yeah.
If I've got some money to invest for retirement, IRA or Roth?
You can do both. You can do a Roth IRA.
Yeah. All right. Mr. J.D. Roth from MoneyBoss.com.
That's
Thanks
right.
for coming on the
Thanks,
show.
Thanks, Steve.
So
I appreciate it.
All right. Let's bring on our final guest, and I'm really, really excited about this. I have just seen this woman throwing for the past few years. She amazed me at an Ignite speech, which is a five-minute presentation. Slides just transition automatically. You have to keep up with it, and you are a pro at that. This is Miss Eva Baker from Teens Got Sense.
Hi.
This is so much fun.
I'm so excited to be here.
You're my blogger helping blogger this year, too, so I get to beat you up on your website here in a little bit.
I know. When Mom told me that you were going to be the mentor, I freaked out. I was like, yes.
Now, your story, if I get this right, your mom actually was listening to Dave Ramsey's audiobook in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
Forced you to hear it while you're driving around town.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. Like, I had to be in the car with her, so
And by osmosis, the information went into your brain, and you understood some of it or a lot of it, and now you're writing about personal finances.
Yeah, absolutely. I just heard everything that he was saying, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to have to ever read this book and follow these steps to get myself out of debt. And I just realized that there's really not a lot of education for teens out there to, you know, help them come up with a plan to be financially smart.
Were you 15 or 16 when you launched TeensGotSense.com?
I was 16. Back in 2013, yeah.
Okay, so that now you're how old now?
19.
Okay, so you're 19, so yeah. In another year you have to sell the site to somebody else.
Yes.
All right, so in the past 3 years, without having a big load of debt, without having to go through all this stuff about building credit and all that stuff, you're 19 now, so maybe you're getting into some of that, but what was the biggest lesson you learned about money while you're writing to teens about money?
I think what I really learned is that money is not as scary as it seems. I've had the opportunity to go out and teach a lot of personal finance classes to younger teens, and you know, they realize, they're like, oh, I want to go to college, and I want to go to college debt-free, and I'm going to need to get a car. But they just look at money, and it's like this huge monster that doesn't seem like you can overcome it, and there's no education in schools, there's no education coming from home, and when you just present them with a simple plan, like the envelope system or whatever budgeting tool they feel comfortable with, it kind of just brings things down a level, and it's just like, oh, like I can do this, and I can be purposeful with my money and reach my goals.
And for you, it wasn't such a stretch to start using the envelope system, because as a teen, a lot of your money came to you as cash, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've actually been doing the envelope system since I was 5. I started out with like 3 envelopes, like spending, savings, and church, and I think I got like $3 a month. And that my parents were always really great at trying to be very hands-on and educate us, and I'm really blessed to have had that experience.
Yeah, in fact, Charlotte's here somewhere. There she is. Charlotte is the mom. Hi, Mom. And she's been supportive the entire time.
Yes,
she is amazing.
She is my partner, and this, like, I could not do this without her at all. She is the other half of Teens Got Sense.
Yeah, so if any of our listeners have children who are in that 10 to 20-year range, they need to go check you out. And you've got a book there, too, which you tell a little bit of that story in, I believe, 7 Days to Sensible Savings for Young Teens?
Yes, it is a free ebook that you get when you sign up for my email list.
And fantastic. And we can find that at teensgotsense.com, and that's C-E-N-T-S, which is very fun and clever. Yeah. Now, Eva, I want you to, if you can, with me, I'm going to announce the winner of a book giveaway that I was doing over the past few weeks. And I've already pulled the name. Would you please announce who the winner is of Matt Hamm's book?
Melissa E.
And she wrote in this thing, what being rich means to her.
Oh, okay. Rich is what I am when I have more than I need, whether it is love, money, time, or time with my family.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is so great.
Yep, yep. Well, I am so glad that you were like my final guest on the Money Planet Source podcast. This podcast is retiring at this moment.
Oh, wow.
You're my final guest. Now, I'm going to be launching a new show in a couple months, so don't worry. It's not, you know, completely going away. But I just want to say thank you for being part of this and being part of this community, because I think financial blogging has opened up financial education to a much, much broader range of people than just the news media. And you're reaching a group of people who would not be watching the news for their financial education. So you're a very important part of this, as well as everybody in this room. I just want to say thank you to the financial blogger community for opening podcasting as part of that medium. And we got to get you to start doing a podcast too, Eva. All right, Eva, tell everybody where they can find you one more time.
TeenScottSense.com.
And we will be retiring the Money Plan SOS podcast right now. I know it's a sad moment. I should be crying. But I'm really excited because the new show is going to come out in a couple months. I want to thank my listeners for checking in and supporting the show. And I want to remind everybody, once again, pay attention, not interest.
Once again, thanks for listening to the Money Plan SOS podcast. If you haven't checked out the full catalog, 200 episodes, you just heard one, go listen to the other 199. This is Steve Stewart. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, don't forget to pay attention, not interest.